Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about, is Sony Santa Monica done with God of War? What would you do if you lost your PSN account? And what's the greatest Phase 1 PS5 game of them all? We'll cover all this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Greg. That's Janet. That's Blessing. And you can get PSI Love You XOXO over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, there you can get it ad-free, and you can get 38 episodes of bonus content a month. Plus, you can watch us record PSI Love You live, all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Support us on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, and Rumbleverse with the creator code kindoffunny. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Morgan Lorraine, Fargo Brady, Christopher Rodriguez, the Destiny 2 PC clan for Kinda Funny. I messed it, but I put it and I fixed it. You know what I'm saying over there.
He did the damn thing.
Give me the pound. Give me the pound. There it is. Yeah. Tall Tree 81, Joseph A. Carlson, 1UP Pest Control, Carrie Palmer, Elliot, Brian Chaney, Trevor Starkey, Super Daddy Kyle, Undertopian, David Mintel,
Mind Freak,
Eric Velasquez, Scotty Wyatt, Alex Greedle, Al Tribesman, Jason L, James Davis, aka at James Davis Makes, Mick at Denanobiologist Abramson, Ryan T from Tennessee, Derek Gregg, Donald Eccles. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, Policy Genius, and Shopify, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's start with a PSN message from you. Hi, Blessing.
I see you brought your trophy out.
I did. Janet, I don't know if you know, I'm currently the Kind of Feudy champion from the Gamescast. And the,
not the Gamescast, from the Patreon show.
Sure, from the Patreon show, Kind of Feudy, that you can get as one of the 38 bonus episodes. Blessing made a trophy for it finally. Let's not toot my own horn here. I was the greatest Kind of Feudy champion from the work from home era. But sure, since coming to the studio, I have been throwing just egg after egg, and I'm just being terrible out there. But I won, and then you got the trophy, so now I'm the champion. It's a rotating cup, obviously.
It's rotating. Whoever is the current champion gets to keep the cup on their desk.
But what about the season one champion? What does he
We're not talking about Snow White Mike right now. That we don't know how that happened. That is not
I still don't understand what he means by season one champion, because I don't know if that's canon.
None of us do.
I don't know where he got that from.
Nobody does. He made the decree, and so that's how it is. But I have it right now. I'm going to keep it on this desk until it's taken away from me. You know what I mean? That's how it's got to be.
My expectation was that that would be brought out during episodes of Kind of Feudy.
Yeah.
For, like, whoever's the champion would bring it out.
But what a great cross-promote. What a great cross-promote for a great show that you host Kind of Feudy on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
It's just the fact that I should have expected this. Greg Miller gets a small win. All of a sudden, he's just going to gloat around.
Well, it's
put it in front of everybody's faces.
Bless Janet, you know I have to take him where I can get him. Because let me tell you, over on kindoffunny.com/KFLeague, not going Greg's way. Greg's not going to walk away with the fantasy draft trophy we came up with, Janet. How are you doing over there?
Our team, I was talking to Blessing about this earlier today, where I was asking him about stuff with the draft, because I like ran into some stuff and I'm like, hey, like, what's the deal on this? Like, how's it work? You know, he's the commissioner. And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to win, because for some reason everyone loved Pentiment, which, like, I got to give Bless his flowers. I barely even knew that game was coming out. That was a great poll. And I'm like, now I'm like 15 behind. I'm out here praying the devil in me is like a masterpiece work from Supermassive, which I don't think it will be. But
it'll
be
in our hearts. Maybe not in the critical
I'm eager
ones.
To see those reviews. But PSI Love You, I think, is basically a lock, like our team. I will say, though, me and Bless absolutely carried you, Greg. What happened here? I mean, I feel like We'll talk about it at the end.
Sure,
but
this is a good check-in.
I've been seeing you circle the drain for some time.
Well, if you, Barrett, I sent it to you. There you go. You can see, of course, what we're talking about here if you're an audio listener or just don't understand. There is this thing called Fantasy Critic that we did where we took the PS I Love You team versus the XCast team, and we all went through your fantasy draft games. Then you can buy more with like a salary cap thing, and then you get a points signed on that. And so, yeah, if you jump in there and look at it right now, currently Blessing is in first place right now, right? Yeah, hold on. Why did I go to a weird view of it? No, I'm still there, right? Oh, yeah, the points, actually. Blessing is in first place. Janet is in second. Snowmike Mike's in third. I'm in fourth. Gary Wood is in fifth. Paris is in sixth. And for me, I did a lot of trying to... I've never been good at Fantasy Critic. Blessing always wins when we do Fantasy Critic.
I do.
This is me giving you your flowers.
Thank you.
And let me tell you, I saw people are pissed off for saying that so much these days. Fuck them. I don't care.
I love it.
It's a great thing, better than saying I'm giving you praise or whatever. For me, Janet, you can look at my list of games and, you know, Gotham Knights. I thought WB Montreal was due. I'm sorry, everybody, right? Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp. I said that game's got to come out this year and it's going to be great, right? And then Russia had to go fucking to war against Ukraine.
This dude has Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed on here.
Now, hold on a second. Let's get there.
I respect you so
much. Let's get there for a second.
There's so much to unpack
here. As Dust Falls. Only 8 points. I thought that was going to review better. I thought it looked better than that. Metal Hellsinger also only giving me 8 points. I thought that was going to review better. Darktide, looking at you, I need a lot of help. Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed, that was when it was like, it's already slim pickings, and I'm like, I'm going to shoot from my heart with this one. I'm excited for this game. Maybe it'll review well as a multiplayer game. 72, not that good. You Suck at Parking, I'm not sure about this. You Suck at Parking, I am not sure. I don't think You Suck at Parking got enough actual reviews. Because it was that thing of on the day it was like it had like an asterisk and then just stayed at 70 the entire time. And then I still have a blank spot because something else dropped out. Now, of course, I don't know what happens because Advance Wars clearly not going to release this year, but I can't drop it because I'm out of free drops and you can only drop games now once they declare, hey, we're not coming out this year.
And I think that's where, is that where I'm at? Yeah, I think that's where I'm at with one of my games, right? Because, yeah, I have Hollow Knight Silk Song on here because I was hoping, I was praying that that would come out and be a critical darling. And I'm pretty sure that that game's not coming out in 2022. And so I'm at that similar place. And, like, thankfully, I have a lot other points from other games
You've
in
done
here.
Really well.
But I am scared of Janet, right? Like, what if Janet is able to clutch it at the end and come through?
I'm always scared of Janet.
Now, the thing that me and Janet were talking about earlier today is that there's an Overwatch 2 conundrum. Because for some reason, I had Overwatch 2 before, and then as we started approaching it, I got scared and I let it go. And then Janet picked it up. And right now on the site, they have Overwatch 2 sitting at a 77 on Open Critic, but for some reason on the actual Fantasy Games site, it's not registering.
I wonder if that's it's confused because it's what only the multiplayer is out and not the full game, right? So I wonder if they're like it's that weird because you'll see the points pop under Critic when the reviews are out, but then you don't get the points until the day of launch day. So I wonder if that's a weird date. It's getting confused.
And like,
nobody
can tell me. Even just out on the internet in general, nobody can tell me if this game is in beta or not in beta because that affects my opinion.
No one knows.
And I've gone back and forth like 10 times of me being like, yeah, the game's in beta, right? And everybody being like, no, this is the final release. Me being like, this is the final release, right? No, it's in beta. Andy, is this game in beta? No, it's final release. What the fuck is going on with Overwatch 2? Somebody give me a definitive. People are saying it's in early access. Then why are we reviewing this game?
I don't know. Well, I also tried to look at like, what's the version? And it's like, had a lot of versions already, you know, with all the updates and everything. So I'm like, I feel like it's fine if I'm just stuck with it because I kind of messed up. Like, I didn't think about that, but
are we in season one?
I don't know. It's rough.
Can you be in beta in season one?
I don't know. Still a lot of time to play, but it looks like Janet should. I mean, I'm not wrong, right? Janet's going to beat you. Unless Hollow Knight comes
projected
out.
Points. I'm not projected to win, but I could.
Well, where
I see. You're right. Projected is what I was looking at. I think those are actual points already. My apologies.
Yeah, because Janet,
I was like, man, if you're only six off, I think you're going to get that from
I'm
Crisis
I'm still projected
Core.
To lose, too. I've been projected to lose for some time.
Well, let's see how good Crisis Core is.
A little
thing is, Janet, what, needs 11 points right now? To
Crisis Core could, yeah, Crisis Core and Dark Pictures.
Yeah, Crisis Core.
I think Crisis Core will get me a good amount of points.
If Overwatch 2 gets counted at the end of the year, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's the back and forth that we were having, is the fact that Janet doesn't have any free drops anymore. And so the system won't let her drop Overwatch 2.
Yeah.
I can override that and just let her drop it. But if I were to do that, then I would get another free pick. Because the fact that, like, I dropped Overwatch 2, which counted against my free drop as well. And so, like, There's this weirdness going on in terms of how the system
play it as it lies. I don't think you go in there. I don't think you tweak. I don't think you change.
But what I can do...
Yeah, like, I think we can... I'm okay just playing it out, but I think, if anything, when we do this next year, we can just keep that in mind.
For me to give you the 7 points for Overwatch 2, because I think I do have that ability, too, is to just go...
Don't do that.
Greg says not to do it.
I feel if they don't give it to her by the end of the year, I feel like you should be able to give her those points. Because
play it as it lies. All right? We gave it to the machine for...
Yes, sir.
But we gave it to a machine for the reason.
Maybe conceding to the machines was a mistake, Greg. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because you don't like the results of the election doesn't mean you can change them, Janet. Wow. I thought you were better than that.
Wow. How dare you lump me in? I play a clean game, okay? Just because you're over here drafting You Suck at Parking, a game that would net you 0 points even if the points counted, doesn't mean that I don't respect the sanctity of the game.
That's
okay.
That's accurate.
I checked
over
Critic and it is sitting at a 70, so...
Also, Bruce is here. Hey, Bruce. I didn't realize she was in this room, and the door's closed, so I don't think she can leave.
Good, she loves it. She's just gonna hang out now. Everybody loves a good cat. We saw that with the Game Awards and Stray. Don't worry about
it. Yeah. This is her era. So
PSN
welcome.
Message today. Now everybody clear your heads. This is gonna be, we already argued about Open Critic for a while, so we're gonna stay here forever. I don't think it even applies to Blessing that much, but we'll ask all the same. Pizza Bagel writes in like you can to kindoffunny.com/PSILY to be part of the show for free and says, if you lost your PSN account forever and had to start a brand new one today, would you feel compelled to go back and replay old games to replicate that experience on the new account? Blessing.
No, why would I do that?
Because you suck. Janet.
Only to a degree. Actually, this kind of happened to me, but not like unknowingly. So... there was a point in my life that, like, I finally signed up for, like, my PSN account. And then I went ahead.
Yeah, I see it. It's a great ad.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I am seeing that.
Barrett, what's
in
your history? What's your cookies looking like, Barrett?
Like, nothing. I don't know. It's just, like, generic.
First off, you know 900% that's where Kevin does most of his browsing. Yeah. So let's not immediately throw it at Barrett. But this is stepsister.
I'm stuck in the thing.
There's a lot going on here right now. But
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Barrett.
I was just looking at this guy without the shirt, you know?
That's what you got hung up on, I understand.
Yeah.
Man. Anyway, so there we go. I had started a new PSN account at one point, like during the early parts of my career, because I'm like, oh, I'm going to have like my work PSN and then like my non-work PSN.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I had that idea. So I had a bunch of games that were only on my like, I think I made a Game Onassis one before they let you do the name change anyway. And then I went back to my current one, which is JantG94. So I have like this big gap in time of not having like my games on there. I don't necessarily feel compelled to go back and redo like everything that I missed, but I will say I went out and got the Jack Platinum like a few times on different accounts. Like, I got it once on my Game Onassis kind of burner account now is what it is, because I wanted to get all fresh trophies. Like, I'd never played that game on there. And when I streamed it, I'm like, let me get all fresh trophies. And then even though I have the Platinum, theoretically, I'm like, well, I want it on my G94 account, my like real account. So then I went and did that again.
See,
so for a few favorite trophies, I would, but I wouldn't try to like run everything back, because that's a little bit too much of a pain.
Crazy. I think I would do the same thing, where I would like look at it and be like, all right, well, clearly I want Infamous and I want Infamous 2 again. I would go get those. And then it's like, it's kind of like what I would love to have all the Uncharted's back, but I couldn't do it again. Like, when they dropped the Nathan Drake collection, it was like, you can just do them all. Well, you can do one crushing playthrough on each game and have it. And I was like, I really don't want to play them on crushing again. Like, I want to do that. But I would have Infamous, even though I guess it would automatically pop, let's say, in this thing. Oh, I guess I'm starting a new PSN. It wouldn't automatically pop. I would do DC Universe Online again.
Oh,
I would get nuts and do that. Because it's not, you don't have to play the 900 hours to platinum it. You just have to get every character to level 30 and then commit to a few specific things or whatever. So I would do that. Like, there'd be those kind of things, the ones that are important to me that I would go back for. My name is Mayo, of course.
You know what? I could see myself going back and doing Shadow of Mordor.
Fire. Shadow of Mordor, really?
Yeah, because that was my first platinum I ever got.
Okay.
And that was just one where I just fell so in love with the systems in that game, specifically the Nemesis system and the combat. I had so much just pure fun in it that it was like the first instance, I guess, since trophies, because I guess I've had it where like there are PS2 games that I quote unquote have the platinum for, right? Like WWE SmackDown versus Raw 2007. I did every single thing I could in that video game.
Yeah, you did.
But yeah, Shadow of Mordor on the PS4 was the one where I was like, oh, let's freaking go. Like, let me do everything I can in this game.
So what is Hero Wars? This one just says defeat the boss. There's no sexual undertone at all to it.
You got to defeat the boss to get there.
No, I'm not clicking on it. Maybe the other one is just like, you know.
They're spoofing?
Just, yeah, and they're just trying to get,
they get you to click on the
weird
ad?
Horny people to click on it, you know? I'm just saying, it's also, this is an ad on Merc City 64's PSN profile page.
There, so we're back there, to the other one.
There it is.
The choice is yours.
Because I wanted to see if we could verify if that was actually
your
first
platinum. Oh, is this the same
platinum.
Game?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Hero Wars is an online game. I'm doing it.
That is interesting. It's definitely giving the vibes of, like, you know when box art used to be highly misleading?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of
has
that energy.
But I wanted to confirm if that was Blessing's actual first platinum, but I can't.
Mm.
It's unfortunate.
Sucks.
It's unfortunate. We wish you could actually do the work, but you can't.
Literally, review season.
Their website's terrible, too. I can't even... Hero
A mobile
Wars.
Game's website is terrible? What?
I don't know what the fuck this is. This is not... there's no real
Every
information.
Every day we descend further into madness on this show.
The game's called Hero Wars, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you go to Hero Wars, heroes-wars.com, and it's just a video. And then I go to the menu over here, and it's like, do I want to save my progress? What the fuck are you talking about? The hell's this game?
Well, I'm going to the Wikipedia. Hero Wars may refer to...
And that's where I was, too, when I was like, oh, this isn't as easy as I want it to be. Then you click on the other one, it's still just nonsense.
Oh, yeah, this isn't it. Yeah, they don't have a good Wikipedia page. Huh.
All right, we're not worrying about Hero Wars because it's not even on PlayStation.
Bring it to PSP. Play.
We're moving on to the topic of the show!
To PlayStation. I found
it. I extended it for Barrett to get the graphic up and ready.
Hero Wars Fantasy Battle. About this game. Unlock skills and battle enemies with Hero Wars, the role-playing online fantasy game. Fight enemies, Archdemon, and his evil army in epic PvP arena battles, and collect the powerful heroes in Dominion along the way. The epic AFK battle adventure awaits. Also, in your free time, you can find... No, I'm just kidding. It ends there.
Blessing, we were talking about what we wanted to do with the show the rest of the year. And one of the things you brought up was, now that God of War Ragnarok is out, Phase 1 of the PlayStation 5 is done. Now, this is something you, me, and Tim had talked about a while back, but if people don't know, what do we mean by Phase 1?
You know, of course, we relate it to the MCU, right, where you have, like, Phase 1 being Iron Man, Thor, the movies that got the MCU off the ground, right, in the first few years, right? Phase 2 moving to the next few years of movies, right? You're getting out these waves of products to help, you know, cement what that MCU universe looks like.
Sure.
In the PlayStation universe, we're talking about... Okay, in that initial couple PlayStation 5 reveal showcases where it was, you're getting Spider-Man Miles Morales, you're getting Horizon Forbidden West, you're getting God of War Ragnarok, right? Like, there are these waves of announcements that helped us define what the first couple of years for PS5 looked like. And I forget the exact context, but Tim basically characterized that as Phase 1. And God
the
of War
initial
Ragnarok,
announcements, yeah.
Yeah, the initial announcements. And now that God of War Ragnarok is out, I feel like we are pretty much at the end of that phase one, right?
What do we know beyond here? And now,
exactly.
Of course, fill in with a Spider-Man beyond. 2 or a Wolverine, yeah. But obviously we don't know officially what Sucker Punch is up to, right? We don't know what Naughty Dog's next titled game is. We know it's Factions of some degree, probably. Maybe they're working on something else as well. And you go on down the line of the first-party studios and do that, right? So the idea was, before we even get to 2023 and really start dreaming and talking about it, and maybe God only knows what happened at the Game Awards, but... talking about what phase two for the PlayStation 5 is, we should rank all of phase one. But what does that mean exactly? That means every exclusive? That means every exclusive has come to the PlayStation 5? What does it mean, Bless?
I wanted to boil it down to PlayStation Studios, right? Since this is a PlayStation podcast, I think it's easy to look at what PlayStation puts out first party wise and rank all those games. Because I think that's an easy thing for us to look at from a bird's eye view in terms of, we know what a PlayStation Studios game is. We know that is what PlayStation considers the cream of the crop when it comes to why you're showing up to their platform. And so, we're trying to figure out how to boil this down in terms of what are the games we're ranking here. And the criteria I gave was PlayStation Studios games, but we're going to leave out a few just to, like, keep it clean on time. And then there's also some things that we don't really need to rank, right? So the games I left out were the director's cuts. So, like, Death Stranding director's cut, Ghost of Tsushima director's cut, we're not going to rank. And then things like MLB The Show. We're not going to rank, right? Or in collections as well. So Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection, I'm leaving out here as well. But we're doing pure, aside from that, we're doing pure PlayStation Studios games.
So you're not doing Kena?
Not doing Kena.
Not doing Ghostwire?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are games that are exclusives, not PlayStation Studios. First
making sure, just trying to lay it all out here. Lay it all out here. You understand? And so then the idea is that we each went through with this list of how many games was it? I don't even remember anymore.
11. I believe that leaves us with 11 games. You want me to read through the games?
Sure.
I believe these are 11. Yeah, these are 11 games. So the games that we got, that we're ranking each of, is Astro's Playroom, Demon's Souls Remake, Destruction All-Stars, God of War Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, Returnal, Sackboy A Big Adventure, and The Last of Us Part 1.
Okay.
Every PlayStation Studios game, aside from the ones that I just left out.
And so then the idea was, ladies and gentlemen, we all went off in our secret ballot rooms. We ranked each of these 10 to 1, 1 being the best, 10 being the least best. And then we gave all of our list to Barrett to make him do math. So he has to go through, and he had to rank them.
Oh, you don't have to make me do the math. I love doing math, I'm going to be honest.
Preview is always for the Kind of Funny Game of the Year games cast you'll get in January. Barrett, are you ready to begin and tell us what number 10 is?
I thought we were going through like each of us first, and then at the end doing the top rank. Okay. Are you doing this ranked?
Yeah.
Like,
I thought we were doing just like how we do Gamescast, where we gave Barrett our blind ballads, right? And he did all the math, and now he can tell you officially for PS I Love You what's the 10th game.
And then like for each one, you guys can talk about like, oh, this was this on my list and stuff like that.
Gotcha. I had it differently, but we can do it that way.
Goddamn right we will. I made him do all this fucking math for no reason.
I did do a lot of math, and it was really fun. All right, are y'all ready for number 10?
Yes, but what did you do to Blessing's head? What did you do to Blessing's head?
Don't worry about it. It's normal.
Okay. Have it your way.
Bear, there is 11, though, right?
But we gave him our top 10s.
Yeah. You're the only one who voted with 11.
Okay, cool.
We can talk about the 11 spot later.
I assume it's Destruction All Stars.
Yeah, I assume it's Destruction All Stars. Yeah.
I was like, which one am I not putting on the top 10? Destruction All Stars.
Yeah. All right, coming in at number 10, you've got Gran Turismo 7.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Coming in at 4 points.
So I assume that's the one that all of us had at the 10th spot.
No.
So yeah, Janet had to have it at 9, right? Because it would be, you could take it at points. Because of course, if you're new to this, your 10th game would get 1 point, obviously. Your first game would get 10 points. Janet, why did you bump it up to number 9?
Yeah, this one was interesting because it was definitely... When I approached this ranking, I definitely favored quality generally, but I would say that I leaned a little bit more heavily too on impact and like excitement for the platform, but also for the medium. So I kind of thought of the games that I'd be most excited to recommend that I think kind of add something to the library in a big way. And I think Last of Us Part 1, which is what I had it my 10, and then I had Gran Turismo above that, even though Last of Us is definitely a must-play game and anyone who hasn't played it should definitely play the remake of it. The announcement of it wasn't that exciting. The execution also wasn't that exciting outside of course, the accessibility stuff's awesome just to give more people an opportunity to play a critically acclaimed game and a game that has such like a big place in PlayStation history. But even though I haven't played Gran Turismo because I'm not a racing person, I feel like what that does for the platform is more significant in terms of filling what is, I wouldn't say a genre gap, but like a genre that needs a level of representation in terms of sim, like realistic sim racing, clearly critically acclaimed. You know, I think back to me and Blessings, we did our like best games on the platform, the top 50 like PS5 games or something, I think was the episode. And that was one that we debated, like, do we put it on there or not? And Blessings like, yeah, absolutely, because this has such an impact on the platform that it needs to be on there. So that's why I put it at 9 for me.
Sure. I put it at 10. I mean, we're talking about, again, games you would always recommend. And this gets into the whole back in the day IGN Metal Gear Solid 4, where would we recommend that? But Gran Turismo and racing games, such an acquired taste, such a specific thing. I wouldn't recommend that to just anybody out of the blue, even though Snowbike Mike did like it and played a lot of it and reviewed it for us. It is a game that I think is very specific to it. And then obviously it did stumble a bit with some of its microtransactions and how it was making you play and what it was doing. But of course, not a Greg game. So it is, you know, on my personal ranking, going to be something low. Not as low as Destruction All-Stars, but you know how it goes.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is, like, I don't think there's a bad game on this list except for maybe Destruction All-Stars, which did make it to the top 10. But yeah, with that, right?
Did not play.
Gran Turismo 7, I think, is the one that is the hardest to recommend when you're talking about the games to get. If you're showing up and you're buying a PlayStation 5, it's one that I know. Speaks to the fan base of Gran Turismo. Like Michael Hyam fucking loves Gran Turismo 7, and he has like the racing setup in our
apartment. Does he still play it?
I don't know if he still plays it. Okay. Yeah, I've not seen him using that racing wheel in our living room, and so I don't think he does still play it. But I'm sure.
Is there anything, Janet? This goes for you too. Is there anything sadder than having a dusty video game peripheral?
Oh my god!
Something you were so excited about. You did this thing, and then it's under the bed. It's on the side of the TV. It's caked in dust. Laundry's on it.
I think the sadder thing is when you try to implement it and you realize you still don't have enough tools to really do it. That's probably one step sadder. Like you start to like get it all set up, then you realize the wheel doesn't quite clamp to the desk properly, but you want to make it work. Because that's actually what I ran into with that. This is, again, not PlayStation related, but that drum that you had sent to me. Like, I love that thing, but it's loud as all hell. And I've been fighting to find a way to play it in my apartment without like the neighbors knocking at my door and being like, sure, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to stop. I think that's the saddest thing.
Yeah,
my neighbors knocking on my door, hearing me bang the shit out of this drum and then telling me to stop. That was pretty depressing.
I saw you either tweet about it, or I think you might have been on our Slack about it. And once I saw that, I was like, oh no, because I know I had one of those things being delivered to my place as well. And yeah, as soon as I got it, I was like, I don't think I can play this, right? Like, I'm going to make too much noise. I'm going to bother Michael. I'm going to bother my neighbors. And so for a while, it was just, like, sitting on my desk in my room. And, like, I would walk in every single day. And, the thing looks like a Hasbro toy, right? We're talking about the Taiko no Tatsujin drum kit. And it looks just like a Hasbro toy. And I'm like, why do I look like I have kids? Like, why do I have this thing just sitting on my desk? I need to, like, store this away. But, yeah, no, it's a bummer because, like, I didn't even get to use that thing, right? It's not like I stopped using it after a while.
I bought the little, I forgot the name of them. Anyone that drums would know the name of these, but the little like drum muter things. It's like a little sticky pad you can put on there. I ordered those on Amazon. I added those and I plan to try to play it again, like on top of my bed so that it can absorb some of the sound. Cause it's so fun. And like, it just don't hit the same with the Joy-Con. So I don't know. I think the attempt is the sadder part, but yeah, the drawer of garbage is also depressing.
Okay. Barrett, what's number 9?
At number 9, coming in with 8 points, we have the Demon's Souls remake. Oh,
that's going to piss so many people off.
Yeah, oh my God.
Will it, though?
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Because it's like one of, you could argue it's the best game on this list. I wouldn't argue that, but you could. And people loved this remake. It's also a very well done remake.
100%.
Even I played this game.
Did you beat it?
Yeah.
Nice. Because you did it on stream, right?
Mm-hmm. And so, I like cheese the hell out of everything because that's what you do. But
so what number did you give it, Janet?
I put this for me. It was at, I'm like glancing, my number 8 slot.
Gotcha. Me too.
And again, definitely, I think the thing that the bottom of the list so far has is like games we wouldn't recommend to everybody. But if you like them, you're going to have a really good time.
For sure.
Because Demon's Souls is also like that, right? Like, it's a great game, but I have to ask you many questions before I actually recommend it. And I feel like that's the theme of the bottom of the list so far. Curious to see what then comes next. Like if it continues to follow that progression of how common of a recommendation it would be.
For this official ranking of phase 1 for PS I Love You PlayStation 5 games blessing, where did you put Demon's Souls?
I put it at number 9, okay. Right? And that's when I was like, that's when I thought we were just doing our individual list, and I didn't know there was gonna be a big pompous circumstance official list. But that's there for me because I didn't play all the way through Demon's Souls remake. It's one that I still want to play through, but it's one that when we're talking about the PlayStation first party games that you want to come and play, right? Like, it was lower on my list in terms of, okay, I know I'm going to play Spider-Man. I know I'm going to play Ratchet. I'm going to play God of War. I'm going to play Horizon. Demon's Souls was one that came out at the launch. And even within the roster of launch games there were games that came up before it that I wanted to check out, right?
For sure.
And that's not to take away from the quality of it. I think, yeah, if you're talking about quality, I probably would inch it up in the list somewhat. But on my personal list, it's just one that I don't have the ability to put up higher because all these other games that are above it are games that I completed. Whereas Demon's Souls, I think it kind of comes back to the Gran Turismo 7 thing of that is such a specific game that is going to speak to a certain audience. And it's an audience that I'm a part of. But even still within that, I just haven't made the time to actually go back to it.
Sure. Yeah, I put for me Demon's Souls, I put it number 8 as well. You can't deny the quality of it, but in terms of my personal enjoyment of it, and then to Janet's point of like, you know, who do you recommend this game and how would you go? I would go 7 other games I would recommend sight unseen to you as a PlayStation 5 powerhouse exclusive for this list. Barrett Courtney, what is number 8?
At number 8, coming in with 10 points, is Sackboy of Big Adventure.
Yeah.
Janet, you of course are Sackboy's number 1 fan. Your family is still on their 3-year journey to complete this game with you.
Yes.
Where did you rank Sackboy?
I ranked Sackboy 7, so pretty close.
Not
to
that far off,
where we kind of netted out. I love this game. It's fantastic, but it's like it is not hitting the niche issue that we just talked about with Gran Turismo and Demon's Souls, so it's like that's why it's above those. But it's not quite as good as like the other games on this list, or is exciting would be also the word for it. Again, I love this title, and I think especially the more you play of it, the more it wows in creativity and charm. That being said, I think it's the kind of game that a lot of people may have picked up, played a little bit of and were like, yeah, I kind of get the idea, and maybe missed some of those aspects that really make it, I think, a special title in a lot of ways, which is unfortunate because it really is a really great game. And I think people pick it up and only spend those couple minutes and they're like, okay, I see what you're doing here, and I'm kind of good because I've had a lot of this kind of thing. But yeah.
Now, blessing in the chat, Ryan Povala Higgins, controversial, not a first party studio game.
It's a PlayStation Studios game. It's first party published. That's the whole point.
There you go. I'm just keeping him honest.
At me, Ryan.
For me, I put Sackboy at number 9. And that's my thing with it.
Oh my God.
Hey, man. That's right.
It's still getting updates.
Who the fuck cares about these costumes?
Who gives a shit
about these costumes, Janet? What are you talking about?
We just got the World Cup kits. Are you kidding me? Like, come on. Go ahead.
This isn't that kind of game. Nobody cares. Sackboy is fun. It was enjoyable. It's not a bad game.
My family begrudgingly cares.
It's not a bad game by any stretch of imagination, but it's just like, I think a totally forgettable PlayStation 5 Phase 1 game. We're not going to be talking about that in so many phases from here. You disagree with me?
I mean, maybe not with that last part, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think it's one that's going to last in the conversation generations from now. I don't think people are going to go back and go like, oh, man, you remember the PS5 and the all-time title of Sackboy Big Adventure? No. But I do think it's one that is quality, right? It's one that...
Not saying it's not quality.
When I played it during the launch period, right, launch review window where we had a handful of games to play...
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Like, I was surprised by how much I got into it. It was that. It was Pathless. It was Astro's Playroom and Miles Morales that I was, like, super, super, super into. And, yeah, like, I do think it brings the stuff in terms of being just a great, fun 3D platformer that you can play with friends. And even playing it alone, I found so much joy in the level design. I found so much joy in the platforming mechanics. The platformers I love, especially the 3D platformers I love, are the ones that give you really good tools and mechanics for traversal. Like, okay, you see a platform over there. How can you get there in the most, like, creative UA possible? And the fact that, like, I can do the thing where I jump, hover, dive, or, like, you know, have enough tools in my moveset to get creative in how I'm going to get to a platform. Sackboy Big Adventure did that and had that. And in fact, that made the speedrunning levels in there a blast to play through as well, right? It's one that I've not gone back to as much over the year or years at this point.
Years, yeah.
God damn.
I know.
You know, and I think that might be that might be a ding against it, because I know they kind of want it to be this live game to some extent because they keep updating it with costumes. But even still, like, the time I had with it, I really enjoyed it, and I still put it up there as one of my favorite PS5 launch titles. I have it at number 7 for my list.
Keegan Hill in the chat says Astrobot was miles better, and that hurt it a lot, which I also do agree with. In terms of, hey, at launch here, these games that are similar to some extent, and Astrobot is better. And I think there's that. For me, when I think of Sackboy's Big Adventure, it's, as I look at this list, I guess I shouldn't, because I would even fully think. Sackboy's Big Adventure to me feels like a launch game. You know what I mean? One of those, oh, that's an odd choice, but it's fun enough, but it's cool. And yeah.
If by feels like a launch game, you mean a hidden gem that we're talking about for years, like Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube, then yeah, Greg, it feels like a launch title.
Luigi's Mansion is pretty great. Pretty basic, you know what I mean? My favorite was the IGN.
I will say Luigi's Mansion is better than Sackboy. We're gonna jump, well, maybe not the first one, because the first one's kind of rough, but yeah. You know, I think there is something here. You know what I mean? I'm not alone in this. I'm not crazy.
If right now, like, we get to Game Awards or we get to the next PlayStation event and they're like, hey, Sackboy Big Adventure 2 is coming out, I would pop for that. I would get excited for that and go, oh, let's go, I'm playing that.
They just need a better name. You know what? It's the name that hurts it. Because no one ever quite remembers what the rest of it is.
Yes.
Everyone forgets the article in the front, the A Big Adventure. Yeah.
It's the Horizon problem.
Horizon a Big Adventure.
I would play that, and I think they have the costumes in the game, so there you go.
Barrett, what is our number 7 game?
At number 7, coming in with 12 points, The Last of Us Part 1 Remake.
Oh, T-Lou hitting at number 7. Blessing?
This is my number 5, okay. So I assume I probably put it the highest out of the three of us here. You know, I think this is, again, one of those ones where this whole list is filled with fantastic games and Destruction All-Stars. And, and you know, I think Last of Us Part 1 being at number, you said it was number 7, Barrett?
Yes.
Number 7. I don't think that's too bad given where the rest of this list is going to go, right? I think for me, Last of Us Part 1 brought so much to the table in terms of uplifting the original vision that was The Last of Us and adding in so much to it in terms of, you know, higher fidelity, accessibility, approachability, like making it something that's that can shine on a modern console. Did it need it? No, not really. There are plenty of other games I would have preferred to get this treatment, but we got it. And honestly, playing through this version of The Last of Us was the thing that cemented Last of Us as being one of my favorite games ever, right? Like, sure. I went back to my GG app on my list that is Blessing's favorite games ever, and I looked at wherever Last of Us was. I think it was probably somewhere in the late teens, and I was like, I'm taking you, and I'm putting you in the top 10. Like, yeah. You are maybe number 8 or somewhere in that line, right? Like, I fucking love The Last of Us so much, and playing it this way I thought was such a great time. So, yeah, that's why I had it at number 5.
Yeah, for me, I put it at number 6, and it's no disrespect to Last of Us. Last of Us is obviously a fantastic game, a groundbreaking game, you know what I mean? And part 1, obviously, is the best version of it, but we're back to the review, right? Where it's just like, cool, if you've never played it and you want to play it, go for it. But for me, I feel, to an extent, disingenuous to be like, it is a top 5, a top 3, a top 2, number 1 of the PlayStation 5 games, if that makes sense. And I feel like it's a weird argument. It's totally eye of the beholder, and if you had never played Last of Us and you would play, you're getting a PS5, obviously, I think I would tell you to go play it, and I'd have it on the list. But in terms of pound for pound, hey, this is the PlayStation 5. We picked it up in 2020. We were all excited for it. This is the end of the first phase. For me, it's such an afterthought, asterisk, whatever you want to say, because it's just it's The Last of Us again. Janet, does that ring true with you?
Yeah, that's why I have it at 10. You know, I really dragged Last of Us down from this list. And I love Last of Us. Like, I talk about it all the time that, like, I'm a Last of Us stan. I played The Last of Us 1 really recently, and then I dipped into Part 1 when that came out, the remake. But ultimately, like, I had to, you know, sit back and reflect, like, even in the conversation around remakes, like, I don't think this is really making a list for best remakes, unless you really think about, again, the base quality of the game. It is a masterpiece game. So if you remake a masterpiece, guess what? You made another masterpiece, but it's not adding anything. I would only tell people to get this if they haven't played it, which most people have played it, and that's why I'm like, there's not an excitement there for me the way there are for all these other titles, and that's why I put it at the bottom. Like, I feel like this could have been something that would get me excited to put it at like a number 5 if it had the stuff that we, you know, kind of anticipated or hoped for in terms of revamping the gameplay system. It definitely makes the game more accessible, but I don't think it makes it a more approachable, though, to your point, Blessing. It's the same game. I think if you struggled with the first one, you're probably going to struggle with this one. Maybe some of the accessibility stuff could ease up that element. But even too, like, I think back to Steve Saylor's accessibility review that he had posted on his TikTok. I don't know if there's a long form on YouTube, but one thing he mentioned was even the accessibility being kind of taking those elements from part 2 and bringing them into part 1, that they don't flow as seamlessly because the design itself was not they didn't design with accessibility in mind. So even when they bring over some of those features, it doesn't quite run as smoothly as those ideas did in part 2. So for all those reasons, it's at number 10 for me. Like, play it if you haven't played it yet, but I would have said that even with the PS4 version of The Last of Us. So I really feel like this wasn't needed and ultimately was kind of a disappointment in a lot of ways.
Okay. What is up with me looking like George Lopez?
They're putting big head mode on. We gave these kids too many,
this is too much power,
too many gifts back there. They're using them. They're abusing them, and I don't like it one bit.
That was really impressive, though, when they had it in George Lopez, because it looked real good in that show. But also, this looks like George Lopez.
The camouflage here really works to your advantage, because it's the camo that's pulling the weight.
Yeah. I'm mad that I didn't notice even that you had the big head thing, because, like, I have a really big head naturally, so, like, you just kind of looked like me, and even though I know I have a big head, like, I didn't really see it until I saw it. It does kind of
match the size of my head to your size on the screen right now.
It does, no, like, literally, like, it's a lot. Hats are hard, but anyway. Last
yeah, Kevin did this to me 10. For the entirety of Screencast the other day, so I felt like I needed to pay
it forward.
So you
have to pass the cancer on to somebody else. Okay, great. Barrett, what's number 6 on our list?
Coming in at number 6 with 15 points is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Wow. Kind of Funny's game of the year.
Unfortunately.
Because of the similar voting mechanics and how we break it all up. This isn't too far off from me. I had Ratchet and Clank at 7. So for me, it was Gran Turismo, Sackboy, Demon Souls, Ratchet and Clank. Ratchet and Clank, a great game, a fun game, I mean, fantastic video game that I loved and platinumed and... a year plus out now. Like, it's a game I rarely think about, And that's fine. Like, I think, you know, so many people would take that as an insult. I don't mean it that way. But if we're talking about PlayStation 5 experiences that jump off the page that I can't wait, I am excited to talk to people about and reminisce about and remember, Ratchet isn't there. Ratchet was a great game that I really thoroughly enjoyed playing. And when I was done with it, I was done with it. And I think, as you know, you see Rivet here and we, Kit, right? Is that right?
Kit.
Yeah, Kit. Rivet and Kit were great additions. They were fun and they would be the things I talk about. Out of it, not so much anything else from it other than the fact that it was a joy to play and it was a fun experience, and it's one of those that I played but then put down and kind of walked away from. Bless.
Yeah, I think for me, this is the one that I had at number six. It's one that I think for me does stick out just for how unique it is as a PlayStation first party title. I know we've had Ratchet and Clank since the PS2, but even still, when you look at the games that are on this list, right, you're talking about Demon's Souls, you're talking about Last of Us Part 1, right, you're going to talk about games like Horizon and God of War and stuff, right? And I think Ratchet in that instance sticks out as a, wow, we have something that, of course, is a platformer, and we've talked about Little Big Planet or Sackboy, but it's a platformer that has that Insomniac level quality to it, and something that that has like such a good presentation and such a good cinematic presentation, in the way that, you know, I can give Ratchet and Clank to any of my nephews and they'd probably be in love with it, right? Like, I think it hits that spot so well of being this family friendly game that is bringing a lot of quality to it, that has that Insomniac level of fun to it, and I think with that, right, like, it deserves all the praise in the world. It wasn't one that also set my world on fire, right? Like, we're going to get, I think this might be the turning point of us getting into, like, the bangers on the PS5. But even still, it's one that, you know, I think has earned its place. And it's one that, like, I want to see iterated upon more, right? I think sure. My big complaint with Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart was just the fact that it was more Ratchet & Clank, which is fine. But also, I think I'm excited to see if and when they take the franchise and push it further. Right? Like, this morning, I don't know, it was a PlayStation podcast, but this morning I talked about Pokemon Scarlet. And, yeah, like, you know, that is a game that is stuck with me a lot. It stuck with me for a game that I just finished playing. But, like, it's a game that's hit me
man,
a lot.
Since I rolled credits last night,
I've been thinking about this game. But it's a game that I think I'm going to think about and reminisce about for a long time, because, for me, it's a landmark title in the franchise because they're pushing in the open world, because they're doing different things with it. I would love to see what a Ratchet & Clank game would look like if they took advantage of the open areas that they made in Rift Apart and really made them, like, no, now go explore, right? Like, now go do different quests. Because each level had, like, maybe one quest or so, maybe two quests that you would do that were side content. I want to see that expanded way more. I want to see a Ratchet and Clank game that takes inspiration from, like, Mario Odyssey or Sonic, or something that is more open level, explore, have fun with the tools that you have. I think that could be the next step for Ratchet and Clank, and that's the thing that I think would really push it for me. But for what we got with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, I still think it's a very excellent game.
It's gone through the chat now, and I apologize. I can't scroll it back from where I am. I believe it was Cameron Kennedy and Ryan Povala-Higgins having the conversation a little bit there that you can make the argument that Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is the only is the first. I can't remember if they said first or the only, but maybe so far on the list, the only next gen experience, the true next gen experience kind of thing, because it was a PlayStation 5 exclusive, right, in terms of what it was and some of the stuff they were pulling off. But I think that's a fascinating argument/comment to make when you go through this list and we start talking about what you want out of a PlayStation Studios game, what you want out of a PlayStation exclusive. And I do think that, you know, Ratchet was a lot of fun to play, like I said, and that's cool. But I think the fact that Ratchet is still Ratchet, for better or worse, right, has capped it to some extent, that it is a fun cartoon or animated movie from Pixar to sit down and go through and be done with and boom, and then go on. And I'm going to think about The Last of Us stories more. I'm going to think about what's going on with Kratos and Atreus for a long time. I'm going to have moments from that really tug on my heartstrings and make me think, whereas Ratchet didn't really have that. And I still think presented in this, you know, spoilers for it, presents this whole thing about more Lombaxes, but then doesn't even follow up on it in the game. It kind of sets that up to be the next game, which I thought was a weird story move. I digress.
It was five for me. Yeah. I ranked it, I guess, higher than both of you, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which is funny because I'm like the Ratchet & Clank hater, but it's the hate comes from the love. It's like a villain origin story for me with Ratchet, because I was there from day one. Like, I had the physical guide of that game from, like, the first Ratchet & Clank ever. So because I've been here for so long, I demand a lot more from Ratchet & Clank, because, like you guys have commented on, the progression isn't there. It doesn't feel like it's really evolving in the way that I think especially a platformer needs to evolve, because I feel like platformer has one of the most very core basic mechanics, but also there's so much potential there. I think we've seen so much creativity in the space, and I haven't really seen that from Ratchet and Clank yet, Rift Apart included. That's why I still haven't finished it, because I'm like, yeah, I see what this is, it's fine. The reason it's so high still for me is because it nails what it does, and it looks gorgeous. I do agree with the true next-gen experience. It is, unless you just don't like platformers, it is a must-have experience on the PS5, because it's where the PS5 can truly shine, and you can see the bells and whistles of what you're getting from this next generation. And especially, too, like, I feel like this sounds, like, low-key a little bit cocky, but, like, I don't like Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart as much because, like a lot of y'all, like, I played a bunch of these games, so I'm kind of done with it. Most people, you know, playing games casually aren't necessarily playing every single iteration of every single element of the franchise. So if you don't have that kind of baggage that I've developed, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart will probably blow your mind. And I did see a lot of people that were kind of new to the franchise or newer to the franchise really take to it a lot more, even though I think everyone can agree that, like, what level of quality game it is, it's a little more exciting if it feels newer to you than someone who's been kind of, I think, bogged down by the history of the franchise. But that's why I have it so high, because I think I would recommend it really quickly when people first get onto the platform.
Fair enough. Barrett, what is our number five?
Number five, coming in at 20 points. And fun fact, for places 5 through 2, all of these are within 1 point of each other.
Ooh.
So they got real, real close. There was almost a tie, but then I realized that Blessing sent in 11 and not 10, and so that really messed me up for a second there. So had to do a recount. But coming in at number 5 with 20 points is Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Well, Greg is doing a lean back thing. Greg has some frustration on his face.
Not frustration. Just a fucking bonkers placement for Miles Morales. This is my number two.
Oh, that's not that crazy. I was going to ask, like, too high or too low, because I have it at number 8.
Well, I know you've hated it from day one. You've had it.
You've had it for
Miles Morales since fucking day one.
I have it at number 3. Like, I don't know. I feel like Blessing is. There's definitely elements of memes coming out of this, right? I think we all have kind of established some of our opinions, but
yeah.
Why does it rank so low for you?
So again, this comes back to, I think every single game on this list is great, except for Destruction All-Stars, right? Like, this was for me a tough one to kind of parse through to see
fucking remember this dork.
Yeah, the fucking villain that fucking sucked. For me, the disappointing part of Miles Morales comes back to the fact that, you know, when it comes to what I'm looking for out of video games, usually I'm looking for something fresh and new, right? Like, I don't really like playing games. I feel like games that I just played, right? That's why the sequel problem is such a difficult one for me, where, you know, anticipating God of War Ragnarok, I'm like, please bring something new to the table. Yeah. Let me experience something new. I just played God of War 2018. Same with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, right? Where I'm like, oh, please bring something new to the table. And thankfully, God of War Ragnarok, I feel like, succeeded enough for me to really fall in love with it. Ratchet and Clank didn't succeed enough for me to really, like, you know, push it up further in my list. And Miles Morales is another one that, for me, it was more Spider-Man. I enjoyed the story. It being a shorter Spider-Man story, I think, did hinder it, though.
Wow.
Just in terms of the character development and the villain development. Like, I
agree.
I felt like there was so much more that you had to explore in that story, and I just didn't think that it got to the finish line and had all the pieces lined up for it to really punch through. And so, yeah, the story for me in that instance was a bit disappointing. Gameplay felt like just more Spider-Man. And I love Spider-Man 2018, right? Like, Spider-Man 2018, if we're talking about the best PS4 exclusive games, probably in my top 3, right? Like, it is a game that I am in love with, but with that, I think I was looking for a little bit more out of Spider-Man Miles Morales, and it left me wanting a lot.
Man, I hear you. You know, I'm on record talking about how much I love this game and how much it hit for me, and, like, you know, the hike I took with Jen the morning after I beat it and talking to her about it and, like, choking up at certain, like, just describing it, because I thought, for me, it is short. I thought that worked really well. I really appreciated it being in and out. I appreciated it being that blockbuster game movie mentality of, let's get in, give you a bunch of stuff, and go. Of course, yes, as we just, you know, the guy played by Troy Baker, but that looks like Topher Grace or whatever, and the Facebook, whatever that. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot all about that guy, right? I think of the Tinkerer. I think of the relationship Miles had with the Tinkerer and what that was all about. But even beyond that, I think more of Miles and his mom, Miles and Genki, Miles and, you know, having his weird suit before he gets his real suit, and, you know, having to take care of New York while Pete's gone, and the fact that Pete was different and Harlem was its own character, and the colors and the earmuff girl and, like, or the scarf girl. And then, you know what I mean? Like, That's what I think of it. And yes, I don't think of the villain. The villain, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, right, no, they nailed the villains of this thing, like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, in terms of an experience that I fucking love and I still think about every so often, like, I really should download the PlayStation 4 version and platinum that again, too. Because I like I liked that game that much. I love that game that much. Like, that's why it was so high for me. I can't. It was such a great, not even appetizer, dessert to Spider-Man PS4 and then to get me ready for more Spider-Man 2. And
I still think a Miles Morales game should be more than that, though. Like, I still think a Miles Morales game should be able to stand alone and feel like, it's not a expanded DLC or like a
see, I never felt like it did. I hear you and I totally understand what you're saying. I never felt like it was expanded DLC because we got the DLC for Spider-Man.
For sure.
It was like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, Miles, I appreciated being a short game. And like I said at the time, I was like, if they could do this, not that I'm trying to get anybody to crunch or do anything, if they did this every year, right, or whatever it was, or I guess 2 years, right? Yeah, every 2 years of like, rather than make you wait for the big drop, we're going to give you a 4 to 6 hour long jump in Spider-Man or Miles or who, both of them are up doing whatever. Like, I'd be down for that. Like, I like that. I never felt, with the exception, I guess, that yes, the villain was an afterthought, the main villain there at the end. Like, I never thought like this was a less than game. And I know that was the big concern building up to it. But I do understand it's shorter and I do understand wanting more from it. Janet, anything to say about Miles?
Yeah. It's my number three. I mean, I think you guys touch on a lot of elements. I agree with Blessing that it is too short, and again, to clarify, that's not just hours. I do agree that it didn't really have enough space for aspects of the character development, aspects of the general conflict or multiple conflicts. I think it tried to do a little bit too much in too little space. That said, I think the gameplay, the traversal, and the activities did feel a bit of an upgrade from Spider-Man 2018?
Yeah, 2018,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, so many things happened that year. Spider-Man 2018. But then it waned in other parts. Like, I didn't like that there weren't as many suits, like, which we can argue why that is lore-wise, but just certain things I didn't like as much as 2018. I think 2018 was a lot more affecting, but also, like, the flaws are a little bit more noticeable in 2018 because there was so much going on. But ultimately, too, I think when it comes to the next Spider-Man game, I don't feel like it'll be that difficult to be on par or above Miles Morales. And I think that does speak to a bit of its weakness. But that being said, it's so high for me at number three because it is one of those still newer, fresher PlayStation experiences. Sure, it's not as innovative as other sequels we've seen, but I don't necessarily think it needs to be in some ways. I just want to see them do a better job at executing things. And 2018 also had its flaws, right? We think about the freaking stealth sequences and some other aspects. So I don't think either game has completely knocked it out of the park, but I think they're starting to develop how do we make the best Spider-Man game possible and what could that look like? And they both have their own strengths and weaknesses. But I think a lot of people jumping into Spider-Man Miles Morales feels good. It's like a complete feature full game, but it lacks some of the grandiosity of 2018. But it's still like in my top three because, you know, it's freaking a new Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
So
and that's one, and that's, you know, something I still want to stress is the fact that like, I really do enjoy this game. Like, I think for me, it's just that, in terms of expectations, I expected the world, right? And for me, Miles
there's
Morales
a Spider-Cat
didn't,
in it too,
didn't so. Yeah, there's a Spider-Cat in it, that's pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, Spider-Man Miles Morales didn't deliver the world for me, right? Which again, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not even saying it's fine. I'm saying it's great. It's top eight in my PlayStation games. But
don't hate if you're in my top eight.
Yeah, I can't hate it if it's in my top eight. But yeah, no, like I think that's why for me, when I look at the PS5 PlayStation Studios games that have come out in the last couple of years, like it's not one that sticks out to me as much. I wish it was, but maybe Spider-Man 2 will be.
I appreciate that. Well, Venom, come on now.
Venom.
Venom. If you've fallen asleep while we're talking, let's give you a quick recap. Number 10, when we talk about the best of PlayStation 5's Phase 1, is Gran Turismo 7. Number 9 is Demon's Souls. Number 8 is Sackboy, A Big Adventure. Number 7 is Last of Us Part 1. Number 6 is Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. And number 5 is Spider-Man Miles Morales. Of course, Keegan Hill, Cameron, and Gary have all been watching live on patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can. Of course, there you can get the show ad-free, on demand, as a podcast, live as we record it. And of course, you could be in the chat asking questions, being part of the show. And of course, you could be a Patreon producer. And of course, you could get 38 episodes of monthly exclusive bonus content all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But most important for right now, you could go there to get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use, right? Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200+. That's right, you could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. There's this app that we love using that takes care of that for us, and it's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, all you have to do is press cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. We love Shopify here at Kind of Funny because we use it to run our very own kindoffunny.com/store. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Start selling with Shopify and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of your favorite businesses worldwide. With Shopify, you'll create an online store in your vibe, discover new customers, and grow the following that keeps them coming back. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted so your business keeps growing, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform, even across social media platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free libraries full of educational content, Shopify's got you every step of the way. It's how every minute new sellers around the world make their first sale with Shopify. And you will too. When you're ready to launch your thing into the spotlight, do it with Shopify, the commerce platform backing millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Go on, try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/kfgames to start selling online today. shopify.com/kfgames. Shout out to Policy Genius for sponsoring this episode. Life insurance is the type of thing you never hope you need, but the reality is mortgage payments, childcare, and other expenses don't disappear when you're gone. And since life insurance typically gets more expensive as we age, now's the time to buy. Policy Genius gives you a smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from top companies like AIG and Prudential in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 of coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid unnecessary medical exams. They're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance. There are no added fees, and your personal info is private. No wonder they have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Your loved ones deserve a financial safety net. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Barrett, we're back. The top four. What is number four?
Coming in at number four with 21 points, only 1 point ahead of Miles Morales, is Astros Playroom.
Wow. Astros Playroom at number four. I had it at number three.
I also had it at number three.
I had it at number six.
Wow. Janet, why did you hate Astros Playroom so much?
Just something about, you know, the charm, the feel of movement, the PlayStation references. I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't stand it. No, I love this game for it being a, like, the funnest tech demo ever. That said, it is still kind of a tech demo. Like, it's not as full and fleshed out as a proper full length title would be, like, you know, like, so that's why it's kind of so much lower. I have it only as high as I do because I think it is really special and really unique, and it does platforming very well. So I have it above like Sackboy: A Big Adventure, but and it comes with a PlayStation, so I'm like, yeah, you should play it unless you just kind of really hate platformers. But ultimately, it's not. If you miss it, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world because it's not like a full length game from this team. It's not like a full team Asobi game, and chances are if you like, you might not have played like their other one either. So it's just kind of like, all right, I don't think it's as, I'm not as urgent about you need to play it for that reason. Like, if you miss it, I think you're missing out on something really cool, but for the general player, it sits in the middle of the pack for me.
I have a question for you, and this is not at all, you know, one of those like my opinion matters more because of X, Y, and Z. Did you platinum it, or did you just play through it and be done with it?
I just played through and I was done with it. I would like to platinum it. One, but yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
I mean, it's kind of it. Like, it's just, it's still not that. It's like not really a full length title.
See, my thing was, I understand what you're saying, but it's like, for me, beating it, and I don't think they existed at the time, right? No, I guess, yeah, we had the PlayStation 5 in advance, right? Yeah. So there wasn't a guide. So me wandering around those levels, searching for the references, trying to find the coin, that added so much time to it that I truly enjoyed. Usually, I think being, you know, kind of lost out there looking for the last coin, looking for the last collectible, whatever it was, that wouldn't have been my jam. But I enjoyed controlling Astro so much in that game. I found the world so charming. I loved the song so much. I loved the PlayStation references so much. Building out all the PlayStation stuff that, of course, now is part of my PlayStation Stars program, which I'm checking in on left and right to see what collectibles I can get. God damn, what... Is there a new one out? Is there a new campaign? That was just something that got incepted into my brain. Remember, PlayStation Stars exists right now. Holy shit, I forgot all about that. Anyways, though, I loved that game and I loved that world. And I felt like not only was it just a pitch perfect, the right amount of challenge, it felt great on the sticks. It was so much fun to explore the charm, the colors, the music. I thought Astro was amazing. That's why I put it number three.
Yeah, I also had a number three. For me, it's the creativity of the game, right? Like, it is a game that once I went into the... I forget if you can choose which level you go into first. I went into the beach level, with the cooling springs. Yeah, I went into the cooling springs, right? And, like, being met with this open beach area where you can walk around and, like, find the different collectibles and, like, you know, see all the different Astrobots that are dressed up as different PlayStation characters. For me, already, that was such a magical experience. But then, yeah, like, I think the actual level design and actual game design is, like, S-tier platformer level design. It is incredible the amount of, you know, creativity and the amount of, like, just game design intuition that goes into making that game, because everything functions the way that you would want it to function in terms of level design, right? It is them using the PlayStation 5 hardware and going, what are the creative ways we can use the DualSense and really convince people on the DualSense? And they did the impossible, which is they convinced people on a first-party piece of hardware, right, that I'm sure PlayStation threw at them was like, hey, make people like this thing, which half the time that happens, like, it doesn't work, right? I think back to, the PlayStation Eye or whatever the fuck that was on the PS2. I think to things like Kinect. I think of half the peripherals that we get, or most of the peripherals that come out, and it's like, what the fuck is this shit? I think of the touchpad on the PS4, right? Like, Team Asobi, I think, did such a good job of looking at the DualSense and going, what are the most creative ways we can use this thing, yeah, and actually succeeding in a way that is very difficult, let alone in a way that still leads to a game that feels special and feels like it's hampered by absolutely nothing. And so, yeah, like, Astro's Playroom is such a fun time. The charm, again, is there. The graphics, the presentation, all that stuff, I think, kill it. The soundtrack is fantastic. What was it? SSD? Was that the song?
Yeah.
That we all
GPU.
Love? GPU. GPU. Yeah, GPU is my fucking shit. And also SSD. That song was great, too. But, yeah, no, like, I think they had everything. This game had everything going for it.
Barrett, if you can open assets over there, you'll see nothing has changed with PlayStation Stars.
What is happening?
This is me trying to opt into PlayStation VR headset. Of course. So right now there's the PlayStation Eye you can get, like the PS3 PlayStation Eye. That one is also airing right now. To get that, it's to play any game that it doesn't need to use the camera. Camera's optional. And then to get the PlayStation VR headset as well, you can play any game. It doesn't need to be, you know, a PlayStation VR game. You just need to need to opt in, and of course that crashes everything. There's also the little astronaut dude from Returnal.
I wonder how many people at PlayStation are checking into PlayStation Star, because I feel like there's a PlayStation Stars team that is like, all right, yeah, push the update, and then nobody else at PlayStation like is even checking.
Like, think about it. Like, they've had this Returnal figure up. It says 3 hours left. Like, that's been up a while, and I've never heard of it. No one has heard of any of this shit. You know what I mean? And not that clearly nobody cares, but come on, what the fuck? I digress. Barrett, what's number three?
Coming in at number three, again, just 1 point above Astro's Playroom, is Returnal.
Wow, there it is. What time with the PlayStation Stars campaign?
It should be number one and a half. As close to number one as possible.
Where'd you put it? Did you put it at number two?
I put it at number two, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fucking love Returnal. Y'all already know.
Returnal's a great game.
Fantastic.
I put it at number four, five for
it's
me.
It's too hard for me.
Number four for you, Janet?
Yeah. Well, really, I didn't put it at four because it's too hard. I put it at four just because of... It does kind of... It's an interesting title because there is a little bit of, like, a nicheness in terms of who I'd recommend it to, but I put it so high despite never really seeing it through because it had such an impact on the platform and it's so beloved and I think so different in terms of the offerings that it's when I, you know, run through that mental Rolodex of games to recommend, that's one that at least will immediately come to mind. And then obviously again, things will vary player to player, but yeah, it was so affecting for so many people on both like a gameplay and like a story level that yeah, I had there at 4.
Yeah, I put it at number 5. Obviously, Returnal is a game that I really enjoyed playing, but I'm similar to you, Janet. I don't, again, not the hard part of it. Returnal to me, even though Housemarque was, you know, arcade's dead and yada yada yada, like Returnal is their arcade roots, and I'm just not that much of an arcade player where I really don't love the play, 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 die, start again. And I know I'm bringing stuff and I can change things and I can do whatever. But it's just that thing of when I sit down to do something, I want to make progress. I want to move the story. And as we talked about at review time and just on Piece I Love You with Returnal, I do think my own Greg XP of getting better at Returnal, understanding that enemy, having a favorite gun, doing all this stuff is the meta, you know, version, the leveling up of that game. But it also is like not what I want out of a game experience in terms of like, I want to progress the story. I want to get to the next room. I want to understand what's going on more than I think I did in Returnal when I played it. And so like, I can put it high on my list, but obviously for me, the other games I put in front of it are games that I liked more and would recommend more while also still recommending Returnal. Obviously, to Blessing's point, we have 10 great games on here and Destruction All-Stars. It's a game you gotta love, but I don't know. I was like, man, I got to get back to it. And it's like, the dream is over. Like, I'm clearly never getting back to Returnal. I can't make time for it. I got enough things to play through.
I fucking love Returnal. So yeah, it's my number 2, and it's one that I think has stuck with me so hard because it is the kind of experimentation that I've been looking for from PlayStation. You know, like we talk a lot about how PlayStation first party has an identity, right? When we talk about PlayStation Studios, we're talking about the third person action game that is narrative based, that is big budget, that is linear, open world in the case of Horizon or Ghost Tsushima, right? Like there's an identity that they've built, and Returnal, even though it's third person action, I think adds so much to the formula in terms of it, the roguelite aspects to it, in terms of how it feels to play the game, in terms of the really cool design, in terms of the nonlinear narrative and the way in which they build in the narrative to this roguelite format. Like, it is such a creative game that has its roots in that Housemarque arcade style that, like, has the polish there as well, right? Like, it's not just different and creative and experimentative, but it's also just very solid in terms of how it feels to play that game, how the systems in that game work, how the guns feel to shoot, how the active reload feels. You know, you talked earlier about Ratchet & Clank and how that felt like a true next-gen title. Remember, Returnal came out before Ratchet & Clank and was PS5 exclusive, right? And for me, did bring a lot to that as well in terms of the PS5 nature of it, whether that be the functionality of the DualSense or whether that be just how immersive those levels are and those worlds are and how quickly you move through them and the loading that is not required as you move through those expansive levels, right? Like, I very much enjoyed this game, and yeah, I hope to see more like this from both Housemarque and just from PlayStation in general, yeah. Right? Like, I want to see this kind of game out of PlayStation Studios going forward.
Barrett, number 2.
Number 2, Destruction All-Stars.
Let's go. We did it.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. That only got 1 point from, or not even a point, from Blessing.
I got a tip of the hat from Bless.
I got a tip of the hat from Blessing at AAA Junior. And coming in at number 2, just 1 point ahead of Returnal, is Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes. Thank you, Greg. This was you and me right here.
I mean, I put Horizon Forbidden West at number 4.
Yeah, I also put it at number 4.
So definitely just, at number 2. This is me. Thank you, also. Me.
This game's awesome. I love Horizon as well. Don't take that a different way. It's just like, obviously, this year alone for games, but in terms of the pantheon of PlayStation. Anyways, I'm sorry. Janet, go ahead. Horizon Forbidden West, you have the Platinum Trophy. Tell me all about it.
I do. I have the Platinum on both of the games. Yeah, this is a fantastic game. Great year for robot animals. genuinely, this... While it doesn't reinvent the wheel in terms of being a sequel in the ways that we've seen other titles do, it definitely improves a lot of the quality of life aspects, and I think it ups the ante of the drama. I was genuinely really intrigued and taken by the story of this game. I think there's a lot of fantastic side quests in terms of, you know, seeing additional recurring characters that you've seen before, or even just getting to know new ones and checking out, I think, what the world looks like in this different world, the kind of othering of iconic landscapes that we've seen before in a way that felt like creative and awe-inspiring, while also having just really wonderful combat. I think it totally has that established great combat of the first game. And also, I think one thing I really like about this as a slightly more iterative sequel than maybe other people wanted is the fact that they did a good job sort of creating freshness within defined systems. So there was an element of familiarity to the game with things like overriding the tall necks, but they kind of made that a little bit different with stuff like having different ways that you get to do that override or encountering tall necks in a circumstance that you might not have expected. The climbing is still very mountain goaty to Barrett's points, but I enjoyed that climbing, and I think they added different ways to kind of get around and kind of opened up those landscapes as well. This is just a fantastic sequel to what is a really, really strong PlayStation franchise. I adore this game. I love hunting. I love doing all this stuff. Everything in this game was fire except for the racing that we just saw, and we can debate on whether or not
the board game, the little board game.
Oh, Machine Strike.
Yeah, Machine Strike, we can debate it. I will say, I grew to kind of fuck with Machine Strike. I am not going to lie, but...
That's the Stockholm Syndrome of having to do the Platinum.
Maybe. Okay, here's the thing, though, because I had to do the Melee Pits, too, and at a certain point, those did break me.
Let me talk about the Melee Pits.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there were problems, but I love this game.
Yeah, a great game. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this year shakes out for year-end awards, right? It was just going to be a bridesmaid on every category it comes up in or where it shakes out. But a great time. And yeah, I think it is a lot of times when we discuss 2022, and maybe not right now because we've been doing it so much, but in the build-up to it, I do think it's one that maybe started sliding under the radar a bit, you know, falling down the list a bit. But Horizon Forbidden West, a game I had a great time with, and I need to get back to Platinum, and I've known that for a while. It's just been a very busy year for games, and I'm hoping it slows down enough for me to go back and knock those out and get there, because yeah, I truly did love it. It's like when I think of my actual knocks, and I'm not going to spoil it, but my actual, because there is a kind of funny spoiler cast up as a PS I Love You, by the way, if you ever want to go see this, my actual knock ride is like the straight up ending.
Yeah.
That is just like to be continued. I was like, I fucking hate that shit. Like tell me a story here. Give me breadcrumbs for the rest. Don't have it be the, oh, well, that's the fucking thing. Okay, that's what we're doing next.
Yeah. On the next Horizon.
On the next Horizon game. Yeah, it's funny because I feel like my feelings on Horizon Forbidden West reflect the fan base's feelings in 2017, where, like, you know, I picked up that game. I picked up the original Zero Dawn in 2017, played, like, 8 hours or something like that, and then Breath of the Wild comes out, and I'm like, all right, sayonara, I'm gonna play this game. And I played a whole lot of other games in 2017, and I was like, Horizon, I don't know, man, it seems fine. And then I went back to it years later, and I was like, actually, no, this game's actually pretty good. I really enjoy this. Whereas this time around, you know, I reviewed Horizon Forbidden West for KF, and I gave it a 5 out of 5. And like, I'm still like, yo, that game was fucking awesome. But as the year has gone, the conversation has died down so much where I'm like, oh, is this how y'all felt? Because like, I'm like, yo, y'all remember Horizon Forbidden West? And people were like, I don't know, man, I played Elden Ring and God of War and other games. And granted, like, those other games are very, very good games, so I understand how that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But it's one that I think did improve so much over the first one, right? When you're talking about the fidelity, right, with the PS5 brought to the table, when you're talking about them, I think thinking about the open world more and figuring out how to design an open world that is more engaging to explore. I really love the old world ruins that were just, hey, here's an old hotel that existed that in stuff, the old world. Here's now solve a puzzle around it to figure out how to get the thing inside of it. That stuff, I thought, brought it. Certain areas that were like, hey, here's this famous city or here's this other area, it's like, whoa, y'all really killed it design-wise in terms of how these places look.
You know, we streamed it on, and I won't give away too many spoilers, this is the fucking key art, of course. When we streamed it on day one, it was with my later save or whatever, because you could, and it was one of those things where we were out there fucking around on the Golden Gate Bridge, and at some point we mentioned Alcatraz, and I think Mike was like, well, it's not like there'd be something out there. I'm like,
I think I was joking around how, like, you know, I think we got into like the Breath of the Wild or Elden Ring comparisons where I was like, man, if this is Breath of the Wild, there'd be an Alcatraz thing and there'd be a Korok seed on it, it'd be awesome. And then you go there and you find a message,
swam out, like, you know, oriented myself off of the bridge and where I was, swam out there, and yeah, you find a message out there about Alcatraz, like, that's cool. Like, that's hell dope. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
That's what you want out of these kind of games, right?
Exactly. And I think Horizon Forbidden West was a step closer for them to fully realize, like, oh no, we can actually make it a really engaging open world. And I think they succeeded with it. And yeah, I'm with you that the ending is probably one of my main critiques, along with there are certain characters that I'm like, these guys did not belong in the video game. Like, these guys are from a different game. But for me, those things are a bit few and far between. Like, I think overall, Horizon Forbidden West, I'd say, was fantastic, and it's the thing that fully got me into the world.
Barrett, I don't think it's going to be a shock, but what's number one on our list of the best of PlayStation 5 Phase 1?
So our last few entries, right, all within points of each other, right? We jump up to number one, a unanimous 30 points, getting 10 points from each of you, being your number one from every single one of you. No surprise here, the number one best Phase 1 PlayStation 5 game is God of War Ragnarok.
Recency bias, am I right, guys? We'll look back in 5 years and be like, we were so creativity. Wrong. You know what I mean?
God. I hope that there's, I mean, well, not for this, but like, because we won't be wrong because this is very correct. But I would love for there to be a game that's clearly better than this on the PS5. Because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, God of War Ragnarok, man. What a masterpiece. Of course, we have our spoiler cast coming up with the game director, Eric Williams, that will post his PS I Love You XOXO on Monday, November 21st. Of course, if you haven't beaten God of War Ragnarok, don't worry. It's not milk in your fridge. It won't spoil. It'll be there when you're ready for it. But that's where we'll go through and tear everything apart. We have a million questions from you. We had a million questions. Just a great podcast with him. Hour and a half, I think it was, of going through it. But, man... you know, I moved on and played Midnight Suns for work this week. Obviously getting ready to pivot, hopefully, to, well, Thanksgiving break, but then hopefully Callisto, a couple other different things. Pokemon's coming down the pipe. I can't wait to get back to God of War Ragnarok. And that's as somebody who's beat it, who's trying to platinum it. And, you know, I have a whole bunch of things with, like, you know, it's like, get 8 of these, do 12 of these, and I'm down to, like, one on each of them. Like, I'm excited to get back to those things and finish that off and... just explore this world. It continues to be a game that, outside of the fantastic story, the amazing graphics, I just love playing it. I still love getting into combat with everybody. I still love the lore they are dropping in casual conversations. It's something we talked about in the spoiler cast. I love the fact that the conversations post-credits with other characters act as a spoiler cast. They are literally calling things out of, like, did you notice in our blah, 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 and they're like referencing things that I've talked to Barrett about in the car, but the game itself is pointing out in case you had a question as a player that you finished this and you're like, wait, what happened back there? They bring that up and they do that. I love God of War. I mean, what a game. Janet?
Yeah, this is an incredibly special game. And it's funny that you bring up the joke about the recency bias thing. Well, one, when something hits this hard, you just know, like, yeah. I have no doubt that I'm going to be talking and thinking about this game for years. It's so fantastic. I think what I love the most about God of War Ragnarok is how well it executes so many motifs that I think we've seen before in games. You know, it's funny having, like, Horizon as number two, because I think in a weird way, they hit on a lot of similar kind of mechanical motifs, but like story trappings or like plot trappings in a way, but they do it so much better. Like, everything this game does is done so well in terms of how characters interact with each other, how those relationships get fleshed out, and the ways that they dig into side character moments that you can kind of, you know, do via side quest, or you can do things also in, not, I wouldn't say in a different order, because it's not like necessarily that open, still a linear game, but I'm watching Isaiah play through it now, and he, like, did a side quest that I did later, and I think about, like, the context in which he did and in which I did, and how that kind of differs, and how the flavoring slightly, like, changed for that reason. And this is just such a beautiful game, and I think the beauty really does enhance the experience on a level that's deeper than it looks really good. Like, there are moments of this game, there's, like, a moment in this game that I looked at it, I, like, saw what I was looking at, and it was so beautiful, I was almost moved to tears. Like, that's the kind of, like, I don't know if that's ever happened to me in a video game, and I've been playing video games since I was five, so I can't say enough great things about this title. It's one that I genuinely, after playing, and I mentioned this when we did our questions episode on PS I Love You, but I finished it and I got so excited about the release and about other people playing it, like, which again, I think I mentioned this here, I'm like, it's funny because I'm not, like, part of the team, like, I didn't work on this game, but I'm like, can't wait till everyone gets their hands on God of War Ragnarok. But I really did feel that way, because it just, I want to talk about it, I want to see other people experience it, like, I am obsessed with it in such a deep way, and it really earned that from me, I think, as a piece. But yeah,
bless.
Yeah, I think the game speaks for itself in so many manners, right? Where, like, I think when you're talking about just the cinematic presentation and how, you know, there are so many games that go for that, right? So many third person action games with cutscenes that are, you know, going for fidelity, going for telling a story that's engaging and all that stuff. I think God of War Ragnarok kind of shows that Sony Santa Monica can be a masterclass in doing that sort of thing. And yeah, like, scene for scene, I think it was God of War 2018 when we were talking about it in our re-review, where Janet mentioned that like the drama is thick. And that's how I felt throughout this whole game, where I'm like, yo, the drama is like, it's there, man. Like, I'm in it for every cutscene to figure out, like, what's going on next, right? And I think the scope displayed in God of War Ragnarok, the way that they've upped themselves from 2018 and stuff, that still impresses me. So the surprises that happen, the way in which they build that Norse world that at times had me, reminding me of watching Harry Potter as a kid and going, man, this feels like, this world feels like there's so much more there to explore. Like, I can't believe the places this goes. It's one that I think, you know, easily cements itself at the top of this list. It is one, though, when you're talking about recency bias, like, I do have the thing in the back of my head of, like, do I calm down on it over a while? Because it brings me back to a conversation I had with Tim about, like, game of the year, but then also what people come to video games for, right? And yeah, probably where it's going to land in my top five overall in game of the year. And it's that thing of, you know, story versus gameplay and, like, what speaks to you more. And as I look through this list, you know, when I meant to bring it up when I was talking about Returnal, that, like, Returnal, I think, still is the most fun I've had playing a game on the PS5, right? But I think three, what cements God of War Ragnarok is that it's the fullest package in terms of the story. The story is incredible. The characters are there. The fidelity-wise, the visuals are there. The art style is there. And then the gameplay still is very fun. But yeah, like, God of War Ragnarok is incredible. So congratulations.
Congratulations, God of War Ragnarok. You are the number one game on PS5 Phase 1's rankings, according to PS I Love You XOXO, on Thursday, November 17th, 2022. Again, your final rankings look like this. Number one, God of War Ragnarok, and the spoiler cast goes live Monday, youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast services around the globe. Number two, Horizon Forbidden West. Number three, Returnal. Number four, Astro's Playroom. Number five, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales. Number six, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Number seven, The Last of Us Part 1. Number eight, Sackboy A Big Adventure. Number nine, Demon Soul. And number 10, Gran Turismo 7, Demon Souls. It's always been a confusing one. I remember from the day one, back in the day on the PS3 when we got that review and it was confusing. Of course, that's where we are now. 2023 will bring a new crop of PlayStation 5 games to critique and argue about, and we will be there to do it.
But I'd love for Jim Ryan to come out and do the Kevin Feige thing of, like, now here are all these titles.
Yeah. They kind of do it. Ryan Povala Higgins did say in the chat, get Blessing and Tim to review this list on an episode of The Shit List.
Oh,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good for the Patreon thing. But for now, I don't want to talk about The Shit List. I want to talk about this week in PlayStation, Bless.
Speaking of God of War, of course, God of War Ragnarok is another critical success. So let's talk about where does Sony Santa Monica go from here. There's two news stories in one. Let's start off with the Game Awards 2022, because we've got our nominations, and of course, God of War Ragnarok is leading the pack with 10 awards nods. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Jeff Keighley has announced every nominee for the Game Awards 2022, with God of War Ragnarok and Elden Ring leading the way with 10 and 7 nominations, respectively. God of War Ragnarok's nominations include Game of the Year, Best Game Direction, oh no, what's happening, the dock is moving, I've lost myself, Best Narrative, Best Art Direction, Best Score and Music.
Oh
best
no, what's happening?
Best Audio Design. Was that you that added a comment?
I put a comment inside, I didn't think it was three.
Two in Best Performance, Best Action/Adventure, and Innovation and Accessibility. Elden Ring saw a number of similar nominations, including Game of the Year, Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Art Direction, Best Score and Best Music, Best Audio Design, and Best RPG. But I do want to keep this conversation on God of War Ragnarok, because we also got a story about how Sony's God of War studio has a lot of different things in the works. I'm reading from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Sony Santa Monica Studio may have just shipped God of War Ragnarok, but it seemingly has no plans to slow down thanks to multiple projects in the works. Speaking to the Los Angeles Times, Santa Monica's creative director, Corey Barlog, said the studio is currently spread out on a lot of different things, presumably including the project he moved to after leaving God of War. It's unclear exactly what these projects are, however, as Barlog refused to give anything away.
Classic.
Janet, Greg, after you just put out a critical masterpiece like God of War Ragnarok, where do you go from here?
Hopefully on vacation. But also, I think, I mean, it's tough because I'm like, they already announced this is the end of the Norse saga. That said, I think there's plenty of space for more God of War. But I also, you know, honestly, you know, I'm always team new. Again, like, I had God of War Ragnarok. This is fantastic. It's great. I could eat up more God of War because it seems like they really know how to, I think, execute on storytelling, on gameplay, on the idea of of narrative follow through, I think, on just having this be this two-piece saga that really fits together super well. I'm really impressed by that, and I trust whatever they have next. But I would love to see something new, because I just always enjoy new IP and new projects coming out, and I'd be curious to see what a title from them looks like without the trappings that we're used to with God of War. I think even, again, 2018 Ragnarok, if you've been playing God of War for like all of its entirety, there are so many staples in the mechanics and attitude, in, you know, the chests and the pickups and all of that. And that's, nothing's wrong with that. It's a franchise. You expect that to be there. But I'm like, what if we broke out of all of that, and what new things could crop up from that? So that's personally what I would love to see. But I'll take whatever they're putting out at this point. Like, I'm all in.
Yeah, it's the same thing as always, where, and this is, I'll get there in a second, I guess. I want them to make what they want to make. I'm here, you know, I get to be the consumer on this, and that usually leads to, you know, being fans of developers and studios and seeing what they make and what they're passionate about and being part of that. And we've seen it time and time again where it's like, oh, I wasn't expecting that from them. I'm going to wait and see, and then you like it. Or maybe you don't, but whatever. For Sony Santa Monica at this point, with the team they have now, with the awards and accolades they've garnered and gathered, the people they've brought in probably since not only 2018's God of War that they brought in during Ragnarok to work on whatever comes next, like, I'm just stoked for whatever it is. I do not need it to be another God of War. I, you know, no spoilers, I definitely think there's plenty to talk about and plenty of places to go and a very interesting final line before credits or whatever, but like, I don't need that from them right now. And in fact, I honestly would probably, if I had to pick, I guess, tell them to go make something new. Because I think one of the reasons 2018 hit so hard was the fact that it had been a bit and this was a completely different look. And I think that would go really far if we were to get a trailer in the future at some PSX and we don't know what it is. And it, Sony Santa Monica logo, you're like, wait, is this going to be it? And then it is similar to the 2018 or the first trailer for God of War 2018, right? You don't know what it is, you don't know what it is, and then Kratos steps out. Like, something like that again to set up whatever the next one's going to be, wherever it might be, that could be, that would be, you know, bring the house down kind of shit. And so I'm excited to see what they want to make next, and I want to see where they go with it. But I'm in. No matter where Sony Santa Monica wants to go, I'm in.
Yeah, I often think about the Game Awards trailer from, I guess, a decade ago now, where, you know, we get the Naughty Dog logo, and we associate Naughty Dog with Uncharted, but then it's something else, right? And it turns out to be the last one.
They just put out like, last or Uncharted 3 too at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And like how much of a pop that was, right? Like that's a moment that I think about a lot when I think about video game announcements. And I think Sony Santa Monica having that moment could be really cool, right? If we do get to the next PlayStation Showcase or the next Game Awards or whatever it is, and it is, oh, Sony Santa Monica, I wonder what this is going to be. Is it DLC or something? And it's just a character we've never seen before and a premise we've never seen. They're in space or like they're underwater and it's Namor. Like, I don't know. Like, it was something crazy, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that could be so exciting just because we know the talent that is Sony Santa Monica now. And I think seeing that applied to something different would be really awesome. I would like to see. There's the job listings and the rumors about how they're working on another fantasy game, right? And right now it's very much an unknown in terms of, is it more God of War? Is it like God of War DLC? Was it God of War Ragnarok? Is it like a new IP? You know, we have no idea. But I would want something from them that is less fantasy and more, you know, what is the Last of Us to their Uncharted? What is the Fallout to their Skyrim? You know, what is the, maybe not the Cyberpunk to their Witcher, but you get what I mean in that instance of like, what is the ping pong back and forth that you're going to create here that is going to continue to cement you as a studio that, you know, you don't just make great God of Wars. Now you just make great whatever games you want to make.
100%.
That's what I want to see. Now it's time for PlayStation Picks, where we go through and talk about the games that have come out this week. And sometimes the game that each of us have been playing. The drop this week looks like this. You're getting Evil for PS5 and PS4 on November 15th.
You say Evil!
Evil! Tina, is that's SpongeBob, right?
Yeah, it's a SpongeBob reference.
You're getting TMNT, Shredder's Revenge for PS5, Ease 8, Lacrimosa of Dana for PS5, Call of Duty Warzone 2 for PS5, PS4, Goat Simulator 3 for PS5, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales for PC, and then the Dark Pictures Anthology, The Devil in Me for PS5 and
please
PS4.
Be good.
God. I mean, even please be fine. I like these AA, like, 7
no,
out of
I got
10
it in my
Dark
draft.
Pictures games.
This needs to bring it, okay?
I see. You just meant as a fan, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, dude.
Super massive. I know you already made the game because it's coming out in like 10 seconds, but like this needs to be your magnum opus, okay? Like you and me, we've had our differences, but you know I've always been there. come through, and if this could execute on the level of at least what's the last one they did with the quarry?
Quarry.
If this could be at the quarry level, I would take that as a big W.
Dude, if it's at the quarry level, I'll be blown away.
But
I'll be blown away if it's at the quarry level, because remember, that was the whole thing with quarry was the 2K game where they just had to worry about this. This is the Bandai Namco series where it's, I feel like they've been rushing them out, or I feel like they started rushing them out and then got into, I really liked the one before House of Ashes, right? That was my favorite one. So I'm hopeful that, you know, I think they have gone up in quality every time, and I'm hoping this one, is their best one so far. But if it's quarry quality, I'd be like, what the fuck?
I think the premise of this one is great, and that's the thing that already has me excited, where if it is, like, honestly, if it's the same quality as any of the Dark Pictures games that have come out, but you're giving me this really cool premise, oh, thank God. I thought that was a character for a second. I was like, oh, no, we spoke too soon.
I had the same thought. I was like, the fidelity really dropped off in this one scene.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, even all bias investment aside, I always hope these games will be good. And I do like that premise that you're talking about, Bless, of it kind of being like torture house, like Saw, basically. Yeah,
that's the type of shit I love. But let me tell you, it's not going to be any Directive 8020. You see this, Janet? Directive 8020, that's the game that's coming after this game. That was reported.
No, I forgot. I'm getting tired of like living this life. I got too looped into the studio, and now I'm stuck with like they're putting out shit too fast, and like
I'm such
I
a
only kind of like all of it a little bit, and I'm just like overwhelmed by them.
The fact that this is the third game,
Pictures, man.
This is the third game they're putting out in the last 13 months, the last 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
What are they drinking over there? Like, how do they do that? That's crazy.
Hey, man, I love it because they're like, we are making. There's no longer a show, Tales from the Crypt. Will be Tales from the Crypt as a game, and we'll just keep cranking it out.
Hell yeah.
Honestly, House of Ashes, I don't know if I want to say it's my favorite of the. I think it might have been my favorite of Dark Pictures, actually, so far. So,
agreed.
At least from a personal standpoint, I do think they're skewing up. House of Ashes, I wasn't all the way in on until I finished it, and then I was like, oh, they took it to some like really saucy places, but we'll see.
This is the fourth one?
We'll see what happens.
This is the fourth?
Yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Man of Medan.
Little Hope, House of Ashes.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Devil Inside Me.
God damn, I can't believe they're doing the damn thing because they announced this plan at the beginning.
And you're like, no fucking.
There's no way you're putting out these many games like a game a year. No, you're not doing it, and they're doing it. So
let's fucking.
What
go.
Are we gonna do without the curator in our lives?
Oh, he's not going anywhere. Don't worry.
You think he's coming back for season two? You don't think they replace him with
not
a new curator?
Not a chance. No way. They're keeping him running. There, you got the trailer out for the new one.
Oh, the music too.
I love
theme
him.
Music.
His little he like walks around with that little candlestick.
It's a holiday whenever a new Dark Pictures game comes out. Yeah. Right. It's like, oh shit, it's that time of the year. Let's fucking go. Put on the music. Bring me the curator. Let's make some decisions. Some bad ones.
Ladies and gentlemen, make a good decision and go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where of course you can get each and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ad free. You could get 38 bonus content episodes. Yeah, so it kind of works out each and every month. And of course, you could watch live like Madeline is, like Keegan is, like Anthony are, as we record the show right here and now. If you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. Of course, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe each and every week to get a brand spanking new episode. You'll have to listen to ads. You won't be a Patreon producer. You won't get the cool things like t-shirts and stickers and everything we do on Patreon, but you'll still have a good time. Remember, of course, if you want to go that extra mile, use the Epic Games code Kinda Funny when you are checking out in the Epic Games Store or playing Fortnite on your old PlayStation 5. You want to buy some V-Bucks, you put it in there. You download something for free in Rocket League or whatever, you put it in there and it helps us out and it's all great. Of course, that is one of the things you could do. There's always more, including getting ready for Monday. That's right, this Monday, this very Monday, Monday, Thanksgiving
Monday,
week.
Monday.
A brand new spoiler cast. Eric Williams, the game director on God of War Ragnarok, joins us to talk about everything Atreus, Kratos, you name it. It was a great episode. But for now, we have to go. So until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.